We have some flowers on our altar today. They are to remind us or to signify to us that we are having a baby dedicated today. They represent the family. The red flower we offer to the Father. It is a symbol of strength. Not the strength of a tyrant, the strength of a loving leader, which means a loving servant in the home. It's the father's responsibility to model that true love and security is found in Christ. What is that? Wow. Scare me, man. What's going on there? Can I go on? All right. The white flower we offer to the mom, it's a symbol of purity. It's the mother who makes people feel welcomed. She opens up the home and welcomes people in and makes them feel wanted and respected and important and valued. And she models that ultimately our significance is found in Christ. The pink, of course, is a combination of red and white, represents the child who receives from the mother and from the father and learns that ultimately everything that they need, security and significance, is found in Christ. Today, we are going to be dedicating Louis Anthony Mara to the Lord. Yeah. Exciting. And his name actually models, speaking of modeling, the name of Christ. Louis means famous warrior. And, you know, we have a softball team that was named after Jesus, Mighty Warrior. That was Jesus is the Mighty Warrior. And so we too are, like him, to be mighty warriors. But so Louis's name reminds us of the Mighty Warrior. And Anthony means worthy of praise, a mighty warrior worthy of praise. Ultimately, that's Christ. But then we also, you know, as we model Christ, we're warriors. I mean, we're in a battle every day. You know, we need to fight hard, spiritual battles and all kinds of battles, and come out worthy of praise that we've done a good job. So we're going to dedicate Louis Anthony today. Lori, I probably know almost all of your life. You were just probably a little toddler when I first met you here at the church. And always been a blessing to us. And then she goes beyond being a blessing to us and brings us Pasquale 5 years ago. And man, we just love this guy. He's on our softball team, and we're just a family on that softball team. And, you know, it's more than the guy can hit. It's more than the guy can dive and catch balls in the outfield. He's just a real great brother to us. And just part of the family. We just love Pasquale. So I'm really excited and really thankful to be and privileged to be a part of dedicating Louis Anthony Mara to the Lord today. So if you would come with him, or whoever's going to bring him, or whoever's going to come up with you, look at him. He's looking good today, man. Look at him. Show him off. Let everybody see him. I'm going to need this, okay? All right. I just want to say to you guys that by presenting Louis Anthony today for dedication, you're indicating your desire. First of all, that you want to know Christ, that you're following Christ, and that you want him to grow up and to know Christ and to follow Christ as well. And what a responsibility that is that God gives us. I mean, God has given you him. He's a gift that God says, look, he's really mine. God said, he's really mine. I'm going to lend them to you for a while. And I want you to take good care of him. And I want you to take care of him the way that I need you to take care of him. So pray. Man, do we need to pray for our kids in this time of life? You know, to attain the end of him just growing up to know God, you just need to pray for him. You need to watch over his life. As he's getting older, watch what you allow into his mind. Watch who he hangs out with as he's getting older. We want to be a part of his spiritual upbringing too, so bring him to church. Know the Word of God, live the Word of God, teach him the Word of God, and do all that you can with the help of God to bring him up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I'm going to ask the congregation if you would stand as the body of Christ just to show your support as we dedicate Louis Anthony today. And I would ask you that as often as the Lord would bring Louis to your mind and bring this family to your mind, that you would pray for him. Would you do that? You guys would do that, right? Amen. All right. Okay, we're going to dedicate him. And you just kind of join me in just sending God's blessing this way and praying along with me as I pray for him. So let's do that. Our Father and our God, we do here and now dedicate to you Louis, Anthony, Mara, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, we just want to thank you for this wonderful family, Lord. We just pray, O God, that your hand would be upon them and you would bless them, Lord. We pray that you would bless Louis, O God. We know that your grace is already evident in his life. We pray that it would continue from this day forward, Lord, and that you would protect him from the perils of childhood, that you would keep him from the temptations of youth, that, Lord, he would grow in not only stature, but in favor with you and with man, Lord, with people, Lord, and that, God, you would just bless him. I pray, Lord, for Pasquale and for Lori. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them all the wisdom, all the strength, all the graces, all that they need to fulfill the responsibility to you and to Louis in bringing him up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Thank you for the blessing that this is to us today to be a part of this dedication. May we continue to remember them and keep them in prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Was that good? Was that fun? Love you guys. This blanket is for you. Someone from the church made it. Let me shut this off so everybody doesn't hear what I'm saying. Lord, we're going to open up your word, read it together and talk about it and listen. And we just pray that you would help us to hear what you want us to hear today. I know there's something that you want us to hear today. I just pray, God, that you would help us to be sensitive to your spirit and to your voice in the depths of our being, that we might hear and be changed by your power and your presence today in this place. We love you, Lord. We thank you again for this time together. And Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Please be in your bulletin, there is an insert. If you'd like to take notes, there's a place to take notes. On the back is a little exercise that you could do during the week based on the scripture that we're going to be looking at today. And so that might be helpful to you, so to make it a little bit more personal to you. So we encourage you to use these. I also want to just mention that next week I'm going to be speaking on the book from the book of Colossians. It's a very small book. There's only 4 chapters. So I would encourage you between now and next Sunday to sit down and read those 4 chapters. Read the book of Colossians sometime this week before we get together next week in preparation for the message next week. The message today is simply called Jesus. And it's from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 that I want to share with you from today. And here's what that says. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a servant or a slave, and he was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God the Father, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, because of all of what I just read, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor And he gave to Jesus the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's all we really need, right? We could probably just say amen and go home, right? It's pretty good stuff right there. There was a Sunday school teacher, and she was going to use squirrels as an illustration, as an object lesson to teach about diligence and preparation. And she started out by saying to the class, okay, I'm going to describe something to you, and as soon as you recognize what I'm describing, I want you to raise your hand. And all the kids nodded, you know, very eagerly. And so she went on and she said, well, this thing that I'm describing that I want you to recognize and tell me if you know what it is, it lives in trees, it eats acorns, and the kids are just sitting there, right? Kids aren't raising a hand, they're just sitting there. She's getting a little frustrated. She says, it's gray, it has a bushy tail. She's looking around, the kids are looking at each other, no one's raising their hand. Now she's getting even more frustrated. And she says, you know, it jumps from branch to branch. It kind of flips its tail when it's excited. Surely someone knows what I'm talking about. Finally, a little boy very timidly raises his hand. And the teacher takes a sigh of relief. Oh, finally. And she calls on him. And he says, well, I know the answer must be Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. When I say the name Jesus, what comes to your mind? Now, perhaps in a setting like this, you know, we think about words like adoration, love, worship, thanksgiving, humility, praise. In fact, that's what we just finished doing. We just sang some songs to Jesus, to offer to him our praise, our worship, to let him know how thankful we are to him and how important he is to us. And so that's why we sang. And don't you love to do that? Don't you just love to worship him? To just be in his presence sometimes and just to get lost in the wonder of who he is and what he's done and the hope of his soon coming return. And sometimes it's just overwhelming just to consider. No, it is to me. It got to me today, actually. It's overwhelming just to consider how he loves you, how he loves us, his faithfulness, his mercy. It's overwhelming. But it's not like that for all people. It's not like that for people in the world in which we live. To some, Jesus is no more than a curse word that they say when they're angry. Or mention the name of Jesus, and you might find that you're immediately kind of on the outside. People kind of start to feel uncomfortable, start talking about just mentioning the name of Jesus. You find yourself suspect, criticized, maybe even hated because of the name of Jesus. And you'll immediately become someone who is considered to be narrow-minded, intolerant, brainwashed, in the world's estimation. The name of Jesus. There has never been any other name that has created so much impassioned response, both from those who know him and love him and follow him, and in those who don't. The name of Jesus. In our country, people feel kind of uneasy when you mention Jesus. In our country, it's embarrassing for us to name some for some people to talk about Jesus. Yet there are martyrs in other countries. People who have given their lives because they won't renounce the name of Jesus. Over the years, and still today, missionaries have been willing to go to the farthest parts of the earth to bring the name of Jesus to places and to people who have never heard that name. On the other hand, say the name of Jesus, and some people will respond in these ways. Number one is rage. Say the name of Jesus, and many people in the world will respond with rage and hatred. In some places, some religions will actually kill people if they leave that religion and follow Jesus as Lord. They would kill those people, and do. Hundreds of thousands of people are martyred every year because of the name of Jesus, because they name the name of Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior. Millions of people rage against the name of Jesus with a burning intensity sometimes and passion. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus himself said, it's in Matthew 10, all men will hate you because of me. Kind of strange, isn't it? When you think of Jesus as someone who loved people, who did amazing things, taught good things, and yet he says, people are going to hate me, and because you follow me, they're going to hate you too. Another way that people might respond is ridicule. Say the name of Jesus, and the world responds with ridicule. They will mock, make fun of, tease, even have hatred for the name of Jesus and for you. Another way that they may react, keeping with my R's, is relegation. Relegation means to assign to an obscure place or to an obscure position or condition. Say the name of Jesus, and many of the people of the world will respond with relegation. They want to assign to Jesus an obscure place, an obscure position. They might say, you know, he was a good man. He was a good teacher. Maybe he was even a prophet. But certainly not the one and only Savior of the world. People might respect Jesus. He's a great man, great religious teacher, but not the Son of God. And then people might respond with refusal. Say the name of Jesus, and many people in the world will respond with refusal. They will refuse to hear anything about him. When I was when I first realized that I needed Jesus, and it took a while for that to sink in, that I did need Jesus. And when I first became a follower, and where the place that I was working at, I had told people at work what had happened to me, and there was, I think I might have shared this with you before. It's one of the problems of me being here 31 years. I'm telling you stories you probably already heard me say before, but there was a guy that I worked with in that place that did not want me near his presence, let alone to talk to him. And he told the boss, keep him away from me. For no other reason other than the fact that I was starting to use the name of Jesus in a way different than I used to use the name of Jesus before that. And so people refused to even hear anything about him. People refused to consider his love for them. They refused to consider his sacrifice for them. They refused to consider his desire to save them. And anything about him, his life, his love, his ministries, his teachings, his deity, just refuse to consider it. And while this breaks my heart, I guess it's something that we ought to expect, as Jesus said. That's how the people might react in the world to the name of Jesus. But what about the Word of God, which is the Bible? We call it the Word of God. We believe that God inspired the people to write what they wrote in this book that we call the Bible, and so it's really a letter from God, or instructions from God, because God spoke to people and he asked them, not that he dictated to them. He didn't say, okay, Paul, take this down. I, Paul. He didn't dictate to him, but he worked in Paul. He anointed Paul in such a way that as Paul wrote, he was writing the words, still using Paul's personality, but he was writing the words that God wanted him to write. So we believe that this is God's word. The Bible says that it's God's word. It says that these things were inspired by God, that these things that were written down for us were inspired by God. And so what does the word of God have to say? What does the Bible have to say about Jesus? Say the name of Jesus in the Bible, and this is what you will find. First, Jesus is God. In our text, verses 5 and 6 says this, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, though he was God." He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. And so, in spite of the world's attempts to relegate Jesus to a place of obscurity, in spite of the world's attempts to refuse to accept the truth, he is God. The Word of God teaches us that he, Jesus, is God. In his book, The Deity of Christ, Clinton E. Arnold wrote this, "From the very beginning of its existence, the Christian church has confidently proclaimed that Jesus is far greater than a wandering teacher or a human prophet sent from God. He is God himself in human flesh." So, is that important? Do we have to believe that? Can we take the view of those who respect Jesus and admire Jesus and his teachings, but don't really believe that his death is necessary for the sacrifice of our sins in order to get to heaven? Is it really that important to believe that Jesus is God? The truth is that if you do not believe this foundational truth, then every aspect of our Christian lives could change. I mean, why would we worship Jesus if he's not God? Why would we obey Jesus if he's not God? Why would we pray? I mean, it would be foolish to pray to Jesus if he's not God. Why would we believe that he could forgive our sins and that his death on the cross was to forgive our sins? You know, my mom would say, when someone sneezed, that's true. It's true. Whatever you just said is true. When someone sneezed, it's true. So I could hear my mom saying, it's true. Say it's true. But why would we believe that his sacrificial death could forgive our sins? If he's not God, why would we believe that? I want to quote again from Clinton Arnold. He says this, "If Jesus is not God, we have believed in vain. Were Jesus a mere man, we would be left with a set of nice teachings and a lot of antiquated stories, rather than a dynamic relationship with the personal God of the universe, made possible through the eternal sacrifice of an eternal being." And so these verses from Philippians that I'm sharing with you today, they're foundational to our understanding that Jesus was and is God. He's always been God. In John's gospel, he wrote this, "In the beginning, Christ, the Word," Jesus is referred to the Word of God. "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Paul wrote in Colossians, which we're going to talk about next week, or we're going to talk about Colossians next week, but he said in Colossians, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God." God became human. One of the greatest miracles ever, by the way. God becomes human. Charles Spurgeon, I don't know if you know who Charles Spurgeon is. He was a great preacher back in the day, way before any of our time. Here's what he said. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one God, the same in essence, equal in power and glory. And so for us, as Christ followers, there is no doubt. Jesus was God, is God, forever will be God. He revealed the true nature of God, the self-giving love. He modeled that. God is love. And so we see that self-giving love in the life of Jesus. He cannot be placed in any category lower than God. Jesus is God. Also, Jesus is Savior, verses 7 and 8. Instead, he gave up, although he's God, he gave up his divine privileges, came to this earth. He took on the humble position of a slave, of a servant. He was born as a human being, God was. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God the Father, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. The sacrifice of Jesus through his death on the cross, was the supreme act of love that God used to show us his love for us and to provide us with a Savior. In Romans, Paul says this, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. When do you need a ransom? What do you need a ransom for? Well, for situations like when someone's kidnapped, right? Someone's kidnapped, then you have to pay a ransom to maybe get that person back. Well, we were kidnapped, folks. We're supposed to belong to God, but we were kidnapped. And God was willing to pay the price to ransom us. And that price was the life of Jesus on the cross. He became our Savior. He did this for you and for me because he is our Savior. He is our only Savior. Nothing else can forgive our sins. You can't work hard enough. You can't be religious enough. The only thing that could save us is the sacrifice of Jesus. And though the world rages against him, he died for them too. And though the world ridicule him in horrible ways, he died for them too. And though the world relegate him to a place of obscurity in humanistic ways and refuse to believe that he is anything more than just a man, he died for them too. That's the awesome, incredible love of Jesus. His death on the cross was one of humility and humiliation. But he was willing. He was willing not only to make himself nothing, to empty himself and be a servant, but he went even further than that. Out of his love for you and for me, he humbled himself to the point of death, the most degrading kind of death at that time, that could be inflicted on a person. Death on a cross. It was a form of capital punishment that the Romans used, and that was usually for foreigners or for slaves or for those who were guilty of terrible crimes. That's who that death was for. Jesus is kind of unique because he didn't commit any crime. He didn't die for doing something wrong because of something he had done. He had no sin. He died for others, paying the price for the penalty of our sins in the world to bring us forgiveness and eternal life. Only our Savior would do that. Only our Savior could do that. Only our Savior did do that. Only our Savior laid down his life for us. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet, the Lord laid on him, on Jesus, the sins of us all. Only our Savior would do that, and he did it. Charles Swindoll says this, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. In spite of the words and opinions of the world, Jesus is the one and only Savior. But he's even more than that. Jesus is Lord. And I'll explain what that means in a minute. But here's what it says in verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above other names, all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I was thinking, I was brought up in a Catholic faith, and in the Catholic faith, when you said the name Jesus, you're supposed to bow your head. That's what they taught us. You say Jesus, you bow your head. And I do a service at a nursing home in a town, and some of the people who were in that, and some of the elderly people that are in that service, they still have that, you know, they're Catholic, and they'll still do that. If I mention the name of Jesus, I see them bowing their head, you know. Something good about that, you know. Jesus was humble and obedient to God, his Father, and God exalted him to the rightful position that he should have, a place of honor and glory. His name is above any other name. He is exalted now to the right hand of the throne of God. He is Lord of all. He is the object of worship in the Christian church. He is now master instead of servant. He is now Lord instead of man. And because he is Lord, there's coming a day soon when every creature will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Every person who rages against him now, every person who ridicules him, every person who relegates him to a place of obscurity, every person who refuses to believe that he is who he says he is, every person, one day, perhaps soon, will bow down and confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. So what does it mean that he is Lord? What does that mean? It means that he is supreme, that he is master, that he is sovereign, that he is boss. He's the CEO. He's the king. He has all authority. That's what it means when we say he is Lord. It means that I've given my life over to him. He calls the shots now. I've given him the keys. He runs the business, the family business. He's the new boss. It means that there is no other like him. There is no equal to him. There is no one above him. He is the eternal, immortal, only one who is worthy of worship. Warren Wiersbe. I don't know if you ever heard of Warren Wiersbe. He's written some good books back in the day. He said this, man gave him, Jesus, names of ridicule and slander. Man gave him names of ridicule and slander, but God gave him a glorious name. And no matter what the world says or believes, Jesus is Lord. And one day, we will all acknowledge that. Even if we don't acknowledge that now, one day all people will acknowledge that. So, the question is, what do you believe about Jesus? What comes to your mind when I say the name Jesus? How has your belief, either for him or not for him, how has that affected your life here? And how will it affect your life for eternity? One more quote, this one from Mike Fleischman in a book called Loved by the Son. He said, through the Son, we hear God speak. Through the Son, we see God's compassionate heart. And even more, through the Son, we draw near and personally experience God's presence. Have you heard God speak today, as we've looked at the Son? Have you seen God's compassionate heart today as we've considered his great sacrifice that he made by sending his Son to be our Savior? Do you need to draw nearer, closer today in a personal experience of God's presence in your life today? Will you make him Jesus Lord? When your belief moves from your head to your heart, you'll never be the same. So I encourage you to read through the book of Philippians. You find a lot of joy. You'll find in Philippians that you can find contentment and joy in Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for contentment and joy, read the book of Philippians. But I hope you also find some time to read Colossians in preparation for next week. But answer that question in your own heart, in your own mind. What comes to your mind when you hear the name of Jesus? Let's pray together. If you would please stand with me, I just want to pray for you before I dismiss you and just pray God's blessing on you. Almighty God, the Bible tells us that you are God. You are Savior. You are Lord. Some of us, either now or in the past, don't know what to make of that. I mean, either you're some kind of ego lunatic to call yourself God, or you're a liar, or you're God, the Savior of the world. I pray, Lord, that you would give us faith. And by your grace, bring us to that place where we'll realize, make that light go off in us, that we would know who you are, and we would give our lives to you as you've given your life for us. I thank you, Lord, for this gathering today. What a great time this has been, Lord, in your presence. Being able to dedicate Lewis today, what a joy. Sing together, to hear from your word, just to know that you're here with us. It's been great, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless these wonderful people, oh God. I pray that your supernatural love would just be poured out upon them, that your favor would pour out upon them. Keep them safe this next week. Help them, Lord, to draw closer to you. Help us to be a light to others. Help us to continue to pray for others and to just stay close to you, Lord. So bless them, I pray. Bless our week. And Lord, may we come back here next week just excited and anxious and can't wait to come into your presence and worship you and thank you and praise you again, Lord. So I thank you for this time together. Dismiss us with your blessing, for Jesus, I ask it in your name. Amen.